Hello, I'm Teresa.
And I'm Janet.
And we welcome you to
Love Letters Live. And this is a show largely about gratitude. It is a show about love and love letters. It's a show about gratitude felt and gratitude expressed. And isn't that, after all, really what a love letter is? Appreciation of somebody else and a gratitude expressed, put on paper, stamped, and mailed to someone. And I say all the time that unless it's mailed, it's not really a love letter. It needs to be shared with somebody. It needs to be sent to somebody. It can be a lot of beautiful things, but it's not really a love letter until it's mailed.
Right. And those someones can be, certainly, this can be romantic. It can be to family and friends and people who've served us well, to fan letters, a lot of whoever we have some gratitude and some love that we want to express.
And by the way, all love letters, I guess, really are fan letters. But by fan letters, we mean really to a celebrity who has had some impact on your life. But we're going to do something a little bit different today and something that is very dear to my heart for some reason. You'll see why. And that is eulogies as love letters. And a friend of mine a couple of years ago had asked me to do her obituary. She is as healthy as can be. She's young. She's gorgeous. And I refused. And she insisted. And she said, the thing is, I need it to be your writing. I don't want anybody else to write it. So I refused. And then I realized all of a sudden one day in another conversation that obituaries are not about death. There is nothing grim about writing one at all. They are, in fact, about life and about love. And why not write to the people we love what it is we love about them and what they have been to us on this earth? And why should somebody have to wait till he's 6 feet under to hear what you have to say? There are going to be some problems with that. Why not have the joy of hearing it while we're still alive, what we've meant to somebody else? And just send the letter that says, here's what I've always loved about you. Here's what you mean to me. Here's what's important. And you don't have to make any reference to a time when that person won't be here, but essentially it will be the things you're going to want to have right in front of your mind if you ever need it. I think it's really important and lovely to let a person shine while living as well as after life. So we're going to go right to our guest. I want to introduce Joyce Glick, who is a dancer and a physical therapist for the last 30 years in San Francisco, and a very well-loved one, by the way. I happen to know this from other people. And Joyce, I'm going to go right to you and ask you to talk about a little bit about your life and what made you want to do this letter at this time. And I'm saying this because I know the letter's already written, and we're going to hear it.
Oh, thank you, Janet. And I just want to say that Janet's been a friend of mine for many, many years. And it was an amazing kismet that we started discussing this, because I have moved my mother here to San Francisco at 93 years old. And the things we hear about our parents and the issues we have about our parents, we talk about who they are and a lot of times the negative about, you know, our feelings about our parents. But we have to let go of that. And I was telling Janet about my mother being in San Francisco, and we started discussing, and we came together, and she assisted me in writing this amazing letter, because I really love my mother. And of course, you know, we all talk about our parents behind their backs, but they are part of who we are, and who we've become as an adult, even though we have to let go of our parents and separate.
Yes, ultimately. But you touched on something, and you were saying that, you know, we talk about the negative, and life is filled with negative and positive, and the point of a love letter, the goal of a love letter, is to focus on the positive. That is to say, to focus on what you love about the person, and let the other stuff go for another time or forever, whatever you want.
Well, this has been an incredible inspiration to me. I'm writing this love letter to my mother. While she's alive, I've already read it to her. It's been an incredible experience. It's made me a stronger woman.
And in what way?
It made me get in touch with myself in terms of being a mother myself and really looking at even though we don't want to say that, but a lot of who my mother is who I've become in a very positive way. And as a professional, as a woman, as a friend, and I have shared this, a lot of people really, when you tell them that you're writing a love letter, which is a eulogy, but it put into a very positive, loving way, people get really upset at first. And I have shared this letter with many other women. And actually, men, I've shared it with my husband. And people are so touched by this letter. They are, because they know who I am and they know who I've become, and they really get it. And especially if they know my mother, they really get it.
And that's what a eulogy is. It's essentially a love letter that you say out loud to people when you're saying goodbye to somebody. So how nice to do it as a hello.
Right. It was a real hello, and I sat my mother down because Jan and I discussed that, and I had a little bit of fear. And my mother is not that emotional externally, but she really paid attention, and I saw smiles on her face and joy in her face, and she was so touched by what I had said about her and how I became who I am through her.
Thanks to her.
Exactly.
Yeah. Can I ask you something? You said, I had referred to it as a hello, and Teresa and I have talked about this with people on occasion, and I know for sure that even at, you know, if people on their last few hours or day, they don't take something like this as a goodbye. They take it as a hello, and it takes people back to their strongest selves. Did she feel any?
She had no sadness. I did not experience any sadness from her.
Just joy that you remembered all these things.
Exactly.
And valued them.
Exactly. That I had valued who she was as a woman, as a mother, and that a lot of it had to do with who I am today, and I felt a lot of respect from her.
Was she surprised at some of the things you knew and remember?
She was so surprised, and then she had to like really think about it and visually experience it again. She's like, oh yeah, I remember that.
So it did take her back to a different time in her life.
Exactly. Yeah. It took her back to, you know.
Because very often what people say, have said to me, when they present something to a parent, to an older parent, and they dredge up stuff from when they were 5 years old that is so vivid and so right there in front of their eyes. And almost in every instance, the parent has said one of two things, which is, I didn't know you remembered that, or I never knew you knew that about me. And both of those things are the gift. What a gift that you saw something and remembered it. So yeah. Do you want to do a station identification?
Sure.
And then I'm going to ask Joyce just to read this.
Well, this is KUSF 90.3 FM. We're on this station every week at this time and hope you will join us. Love Letters Live with Teresa Ayers and Janet Gallen.
Thank you. Joyce, do you want to just read this? I think I'd love you to do that, to share this and let people see what can go into a love letter.
Yes, I'd love to read this letter
eulogy
for the audience.
As a love letter. Okay.
And this
and nice and slowly so we really get every word.
Okay. This is a love letter. And this is written to my mother, who will be 93 years old on March 7th and born in 1914. Okay. Dear Mom, I know your mind may be on other things right now, and you may be looking ahead as well as back in your life, but I need just a few minutes of your time here. Let me tell you how I want the world to know you and remember you always, because it is how I know you and will always remember you, always. It is Miriam Weitzman, the daughter of Polish-born parents, Gussie and Max, who became my mother, May Glick. And it is May Glick whose high integrity and gentle spirit took a family in new directions. It is May Glick's love and tenacity that shaped me. The freedom you had, the strength to allow me, has been my permission to be who I am today. I am all that I want to be, the artist, the dancer, the explorer, the entrepreneur, and the healer. You have always let me blaze some trail of my own. I can see that you knew how to do that from having blazed your own trail in life. It was your confidence and freedom you knew how to give that let me blossom. I know this. It must have been hard for you to let go each time I wanted to take some new step. Yet you did. You let go inch by inch so I would be comfortable with the courage to live my own life. I will always know that your love was my guide. I remember when you sat on the other side of the subway train so I could get the feel of doing it myself. You watched over me while you let me go. That is quite a magic trick, to hold on for safety and let go at the same time. I will always remember this about you. Yes, my mother, the magician. Did I know what you thought about me? Not until I went to your office and found that everyone knew so much about me. It was then I knew you took such joy in me and the things I could do, and I thank you for making that pride in me so public. You sat in the waiting room time and time again, knitting and crocheting while I was at dance rehearsals and performances. Yes, your knitting and crocheting were legendary. You were a one-woman production line of blankets, sweaters, and ponchos. I know and will always remember that you gave up a lot so I could develop my own talents and fulfill my own potential. You were always on my side in life. You took me shopping to get the finest clothes, and you did this with limited money because you knew that dressing beautifully was important to me. You sent me to summer camp. I was the only one in my neighborhood to go to such an extravagant camp. I still have no idea how you paid for it all. The other kids always thought I was rich. I was rich, indeed. I had you. When I had that 68 Volvo with no starter and you stood in front of the building and watched me push that car towards California, how brilliant and brave of you to watch me leave home to make my life elsewhere. It was your calm, watchful gaze that made me know I could do it alone. What a compliment to my own abilities that was. What perfect validation of my own power you gave me. When I think back, as a mother now myself, I know how hard that was to watch quietly as your only daughter left. You were the most beautiful young woman in New York and only 18 years old when you were Miss Bronx. That vision of you in the photograph will be with me forever, my mother, the beauty queen. You loved music and dated the musicians, which showed your own unique character. But I can see that you had a spirit that took you outside the constraints of your own upbringing. Your youthful, rebellious spirit was a sure sign of the independence you so generously passed on to me. And with all that, yours is the one of the most gentle and most able spirits, reflected by the well-deserved awards you got for your work and dedication to the City of Hope. My mother, the humanitarian. And I know that you worked your way up at Metropolitan Life because of your personal qualities. You had such high integrity and mellow personality that made people want to connect with you. You were inquisitive without prying. You asked questions and were always so good at gaining the confidence of other people. People trusted you with secrets. And yes, everybody wanted to play cards with you. You were so great with numbers and could keep track of what was going on in front of you. You were always a whiz at Mahjong, Canasta, and Pan. But do you know what I picture most about the Mahjong group? It was your array of fabulous desserts. My mother, the hostess. You always had the strength to go to work when times were lean, and we were so lucky to be able to count on your strength. Your drive and organizational abilities kept us afloat in sometimes rocky seas. I will always remember that, too. To have a mother whose generosity had no seeming limits will always be a treasure to me. You took in Grandma Goldie after Grandpa Max died, and she stayed with you. You were her home for years. You never took the easy way. You took the protective way. You took the big-hearted way. And for the last 15 years, I will always remember that you spent every summer in Calistoga for its youth-giving waters, its spirit, and the new experiences it had to offer you. Everyone waited for you to get there to know summer had officially started. You were the start of my summer and my springtime and the start of all my strength. I know you have said when you are gone, and I wish you eternal peace. But for me, you will never be gone. As long as I live and breathe, you will live in my heart as the family strength, as the beauty queen, and most important, as my mother. I will always love you, your daughter, Joycey.
Wow.
Hooray.
Thank you.
Okay, so my question is to everybody in the world, when you hear that as a eulogy sent as a love letter, is there anything at all grim or sad in that? I don't think so. I think that's just a value-added part of any day, and I encourage people to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You look like you have a question, Teresa.
No, I'm still a little breathless from listening to that. Yeah.
It was an amazing experience for me. For me, it was like 30 years of therapy.
Isn't that what people say?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was a real exploration, and I feel so positive and so great about having written this letter. And
did you feel differently about it before we started it?
I felt so differently about it.
How did you feel at first?
I felt sad, and why am, you know, like, just sad about the, you know, what, you know, the future, and, you know, I know I'm dealing...
Because you're looking at a time when she won't be here.
Exactly. And but now I have something so joyous that I actually shared this with her.
So it shifted from fear of looking at a time when she won't be here to the joy of looking at she is here.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And my mother's still here, and mm-hmm. I can share this with her. And I think in a lot of ways it's going to make us closer because she realizes how much I love her.
Yes. And that you're grateful for the strong parts of her that you have. I think that is so wonderful to do.
So what advice would you give to other people if you have any about it, this process?
Well, I don't think this is just a female experience for a mother. I think this would be a wonderful experience for, and also for a man to write a letter to his parents as well.
For anybody, to write to anybody.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, not just to parents, to friends that we love, and we want them to know it now.
You know, I think the writing pen has, because of the internet and mm-hmm. and emails, has really been taken away. And people love to go to the mailbox.
Everybody is saying that.
And get a letter. It's so joyous. And to look down and to have somebody affirm who you are. And so I think I do send letters, but I think I'm going to really get more involved in sending letters to friends and
yes.
and people that I love.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're trying to make this a movement, Janet
yeah.
and I.
It is. I totally think it's a movement. And when somebody knows how much somebody else loves them, it really gives them such great affirmation about who they are, you know, on this planet. And the more positive we are, the better it is for the whole planet.
Well, Joyce, this is such a terrific model of a letter, and I want to remind our listeners that this is on the Internet on our website at www.loveletterslive.com. Not this moment, but it will be within a week. And if you'd like to listen to it again, you can listen to it again and again. And I'm sure, Joyce, you wouldn't mind if other people would take the model that you have started and use it for their own purposes.
I would love to share this with anybody.
And one of the wonderful things about this letter, and I think of any good love letter, and we say this a lot, and I think it's worth saying and reminding people again, is that specifics are important. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter how small or goofy a memory was or is, or how seemingly insignificant, it all adds up. And it's what lets people know how much they did mean and how much they had an impact.
Right. And isn't that what intimacy is about? It's those little things that only a few people share and can laugh at or cry at or whatever you're going to do.
Private
I was going to say something historically, too. The moment I was on the subway train, you know that was the 50s, and it's not, you know, this century, because in those days you could be on a subway train by yourself. And so there's a whole, even reading these love letters, there's a real history behind.
Yes. Exactly. Perfect. And I'm so glad you said that, because one of the points of writing love letters and writing letters, it is your own history documented in your own hand. And your children and grandchildren and great nieces will find this in 100 years stuck in some drawer, and we've got a couple of stories about that too, things that come out of some drawer, yeah, that open up a whole world. And so they are going to know something about your mother, and they're also going to know something about you, yeah, from this and how you perceive the world.
And what, right, a good model. I was listening to your model of how your mother held on but yet let go, and what a good model that is for other parents.
She did say her hair turned gray.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Well, it took me back to the time that I let our six-year-old daughter cross the street and go to her piano lesson all by herself. And I don't know if she remembers that, but that's still, you know, in my mind and how frightened I was.
Right. There's not enough therapy in the world that can get rid of that feeling.
But that would be a good love letter to write to our own daughter, too.
Exactly.
So that's another...
But, I mean, I'm sure her hair went white over you. I've just known you as a responsible adult, and you're a handful and a half. So I can only imagine. How are we doing for...
We have time for a letter to Dear Janet or whatever else
you
want.
Well, I wanted to mention something. I just wanted to read a little bit about from this obituary that I wrote from this perfectly gorgeous, healthy friend who wanted to have it. And, by the way, the beauty of this thing was when she received it, she called and she said, "I got what you sent." And she said, "It was just beautiful." And I said, "I'm so glad." And she said, "But I didn't recognize myself in it." And I think that is another point of these letters. So she gets the joy of knowing how much she meant and is in this world, and she gets to see herself more accurately. That is, through my eyes, because we don't always see ourselves so accurately, but your best friends certainly do. So I just want to read something, because her whole reason of wanting to have an obituary at one time was so she could make sure that it wasn't cliché-ridden, and it didn't. She was adamant on the fact that there be no "died after a long battle with," and you see that. And mm-hmm. And so many of the obituaries, when they're written, I think, in haste, or when you are in grief and maybe don't have time to think of the joyful parts, too much emphasis is placed on how a person died after a long battle with this. And okay, so I promised her no long battles. So I say, "She has left this earth not after a long battle with any illness, but in graceful surrender to whatever it may be that comes next. Address unknown? Yes, but gone? Never. If you look for her, you will find her. If you don't look for her, you will see her. She will be everywhere in the heaping measures of beauty and strength she left in her wake." And that's the tone of it. And I think it would be so nice to put kind of a new face on obituaries. And we go on. I'm not reading at all, but... "She will have left the world more beautiful and more comfortable than she found it. Others felt safe and graceful in her presence. Her arrival into any room was to be sprinkled with gold dust. Her smile and enthusiasm were always joined in a cleverly braided light beam ever directed at other people. Her personal inventory was enormous, so she was emotionally and materially generous with everyone. She knew her life was an abundance meant to share. Giving was her joy. You could see it in her face. Loyalty and devotion were the fuel that powered her life. And here's the issue, my friends. How she died doesn't matter, really. What matters is how she lived. Life for her was a work of art in progress. What stayed the same over time and what changed were of equal importance." And we just go on to talk about how wonderful she is. "She will be remembered by her endless questions, mostly unanswerable, her need for clarity, her discomfort at elusiveness, and her impatience with artifice or subterfuge in any form. She was one genetically lucky girl, immensely talented, endlessly insightful, intelligent, most beautifully mannered, healthy, graceful, wickedly funny, and never the center of her own universe. She was a boundlessly hard worker, daughter, wife, mother, niece, and friend. For an only child, she had one of the largest families ever, a family handcrafted of all the people and pets she treasured and watched over them all constantly, aware of what made them happy and comfortable." Anyway, it goes on and on. Mm-hmm. And it goes on in that manner. And I think that's just a wonderful way to, you know, people talk about funerals as celebrating life, as they should be. But part of celebrating life is putting it down on paper mm-hmm. in the most positive, joyful way you can. And you can get intimate, and you can get silly, and you can remember all kinds of things.
Well, Janet, we all know that's easy for you to say, but then there's the rest of us who are not so gifted with the written and the spoken word as you. So how do you go about this?
I think any time you put your truth to paper in a really clear and loving way, it's going to be gorgeous. I mean, everybody has a different writing style and a different speaking style.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever it is, if it's the truth and if it's real, it's going to be perfect.
Any tips for getting in touch with those feelings, those memories?
Yes. Start with just blank paper and spend a few days just writing stuff down. I mean, this doesn't come automatically. It takes planning. And by the way, I'm so glad you asked that, because a love letter is that perfect combination of feeling and thought and planning. And so you have really days to do it. You can fine-tune it. You can write something down. You can look at it and say, well, that's not exactly what I meant, and then change it before you commit it to its final form. And start remembering every little thing, every little detail about a person. Some of it you want to use, some of it you may not, and you may want to use all of it. Mm-hmm. Up to you.
How long should a love letter be?
It can be 25 words. It can be 10 pages. That's up to you. And by the way, it also, I think, depends on the capacity of the person receiving it. If you have a lot to say to somebody who doesn't sit still well and can't take in a lot of emotional spilling, then do 4 or 5 short letters over a period of time. Why not? Let somebody get used to the fact that letters are coming.
Mm-hmm.
And Joyce, you used an interesting phrase. You said something about when you look and you look and you see that love letter, what a joy it is. And I think we all know that it's come to the point where we take our mail in and we just drop it down onto the kitchen table. And so we are always looking down. And you're right, some little sparkling envelope.
I am always, when I get my mail and the bills, I'm looking for something fun there, too.
Yeah, and handwriting and a
colorful. How often does that happen?
Not very often.
Not often enough.
And thank you notes can be that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes, by the way, if I can't find a person on the telephone for a few days, or several tries, I don't want to hear this is calling. I'll call you back as soon as possible. As soon as possible could be in 6 years. I don't know what that means.
Right.
And so I give up and I just write a note and I stick it in the mail. Gets there more quickly than my telephone message will.
Mm-hmm. Right. Wonderful. Joyce, thank you so much for being with us.
This was wonderful. Thank you, dear.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed spending the time with both of you.
And thank you to all of our listeners. We enjoy having you listen in each week, KUSF 90.3 FM in San Francisco. We encourage you to put your loving sentiments into words and send them while you still have the chance. And we hope that you will send some of your
message
sentiments to us as well. We have a website, www.lovingslive.com. You can listen to past programs. You can send us letters that you would like to share, letters to Janet.
Something you're proud of that you've written that you would like to share with our listeners, or something you've received that's beautiful that you'd like to share, please do send it to us.
We'll keep it anonymous if that's what you prefer, or
yes.
Use
we
your name.
We respect privacy any way you want it to be.
On the air. So with that, Janet, a last word from you?
Yes, my last word, as always, is if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, just remember that writing a love letter is a special occasion.
So until next week, with love from Teresa
and Janet.
Bye-bye.
Bye.